paint the...
Brother Shepherd.
And I said, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I'm 93, I think he said, and my wife's 94. And he said, we only put 35,000 miles on our fifth wheel this year. I said, you just ruined my day. I can't quit. Amen. It's like the preacher one time, they'd just taken a church and he was really discouraged, wanted to quit. He said, honey, I'm quitting. She said, you ain't started yet. Amen. Longevity's a blessing, isn't it? And it is thrilling to be here. What a joy. Our dear brother Richard Smith, you know, my daughter and her husband served with him there. And Richard just lost his two brothers to COVID this year, this last year. And his wife battled cancer. He's been through a lot, but he gets fed at the IFFB. And I'm so thrilled that he's here. And pray for his family and that God will just undergird them and encourage them. As we, you know, all of us have trials, don't we? But we have a God that we can go to that knows the end from the beginning. And all things work together for good to them that what? Love God. And we know that he loves the Lord. Take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Isaiah. I'm going to begin there in chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9. Oh, that song was so powerful because it was talking about our Savior Jesus. And oh, we're living in a wicked world. We're living in a messed up world. We're living in a divided country. But God is still able. And God knows the end from the beginning. This hasn't slipped up on God, and he's kind of wondering what to do. He already has it all figured out. And I'm glad that our God is able. In Isaiah chapter 9, look with me at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called, I love this word, I use it often, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Now go with me over to verse 16. For the leaders of this people cause them to error, and they that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this his anger is not turned away. Notice the last part of that verse. But his hand is stretched out still. Our Heavenly Father, speak to us this morning. Oh God, may we understand how great you are and how little we are. And may you get your will and your way in our lives. May we not fight you, but may we join you in being used by our great God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, God created man. God hangs the world on nothing. I think he's trustworthy, don't you? He made man with intellect, emotion, and will. Did you know what man's done? Man's tried to exalt his philosophy to be equal with God's theology. Now you think about that for a minute. We're living in a day when there are miracles taking place because of God. But there are mysteries in the Word of God that humans need to understand. How many of you have ever watched a mystery program and you knew who the criminal was? I mean, right off the bat, you knew who it was, and then you got right down to the end, And it wasn't that person at all. Have you ever had that happen to you? It's crazy. My wife's pretty good at guessing the right one. Sometimes she nails it. I said, you should have been a detective. She can figure out who the criminal is. It's a mystery. Did you know that God has mysteries? In the book of Ephesians, he talks about mysteries, the mysteries of God. In fact, it's interesting, he talks about the manifold wisdom of God, not the wisdom of man, not the intellect of man, but the wisdom of God. He talks about eternal purposes in Christ Jesus our Lord. He talks about boldness and access and confidence by faith in who? Jesus Christ. And so this world lives void of the understanding of the miracles and the mysteries of God. But did you know what? God unfolds his mysteries to mankind. Let me just give you a few of the mysteries that are discovered. And many of you have already discovered them. How about the incarnation? God coming in the form of the Lord Jesus to be a man, to suffer and bleed and die, to be buried and then to rise again. That's a mystery to some people. How could that be? Man in his finite mind cannot understand an infinite God. And so they make fun of it instead of believing it. Because in order to believe it, you must have faith. And faith is not something man can muster. It's something that God gives. Everything begins and ends with God. And the sooner our little finite minds figure that out, the more mysteries and the more miracles we are going to experience. See, what God does is he takes his mysteries and turns them into miracles. How about his deity? How about his omniscience, that God knows all things? How about his omnipresence? An interesting verse in the book of Psalm, chapter 139, verse 8. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. How can God be two places at one time unless he's omnipresent? He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Don't ever try to exhaust his power. You'll never get it done. And how little we investigate to understand the mystery of his mighty power. Oh, I want to say to you, then we have the God, the eternal God. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. If you're lost, you're a hell-bound sinner. We were in Scotland. I was preaching at the Baptist Church in North Berwick, Scotland. My wife and I were sitting out there by the North Sea, and a lady came walking her dog, and she said, "What brings you folks to North Berwick?" I said, "Well, I'm preaching over here at the Baptist Church. I'd like to have you come on Sunday morning." "Oh, no," she said, "I don't go to church." She said, "I'm a humanist." As though she was bragging. I said, "A humanist. Very interesting." She said, "Oh, you're going to love this statement. We humanists determine our destiny." And I said, "You are absolutely right. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you get to go to heaven. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you end up in hell. Better make the right decision." She did not like that. She did not like that. It's like the atheist that I met at a church in, I met him at the church in England, and he was a postman, and he was bringing the mail by, and he said, "Are you the new pastor?" Because their pastor had left. I said, "No, I'm not. I'm just preaching here tomorrow." I said, "I'd like to have you come and hear me preach." He goes, "I'm an atheist." As though that were good. I said, "You know, the Bible talks about atheists." He goes, "Really?" I said, "Yeah. The Bible says the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." He goes, "Well, I guess I'm a fool then." I said, "You don't have to be foolish. I'll be preaching on how you can be saved in the service Sunday morning."
I'd like you to come. And he goes, have a good day. And off he went. You see, man, the Bible says Satan hath blinded their eyes. Most people don't get saved the first time they hear the gospel, but the Holy Spirit begins to work. And what I did was I planted a seed. Somebody else will come along and water. And there's no doubt in my mind that both of these people I just mentioned to you know where those churches are. And every time they go by them, a little more water. Aren't you glad that the Almighty God is the one that gives the increase? Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Would you turn there quickly? Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. I want to give you 6 miracles that the Christian experiences. And if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, boy, are you missing out. By the time I come to the end of these 6 miracles of God, where God is able, you're going to want Jesus if you're not saved. And if you don't, I'm very concerned about you then. I want you to notice the Bible says, wherefore, Hebrews 7:25, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Wow, God is able to save. He saved me. I was a preacher's kid. I'm still a preacher's kid. My dad's with the Lord. But I went forward on a Sunday morning to get saved. I was 6 years old. I'll never forget it. It was a big, heavy evangelist that came. And boy, he preached a hot message on hell and scared the living daylights out of me. And when the altar call came, I went right to the altar and I knelt there. And I was basically waiting for somebody to deal with me. But nobody dealt with me. I got up from my knees thinking that because I wanted to be saved, I was saved. At age 14, my father said to me with shaving cream all over his face, he said, Daniel, I've never seen any indication that you're really saved. That was the day of my salvation. The Lord saved me. Oh, I was so excited. When my dad came home that night, I said, Dad, I got saved today. He looked at me and he said, we'll see. Anybody can say they're saved. But people that are genuinely saved are saved by the power of God unto salvation. He's able to save unto the uttermost. He can save from the uttermost to the guttermost. You've heard that phrase. He can save anyone that will call upon his name. All you must do is call. You must be convicted of your sin. A person's not saved till they're convicted of their sin. Once they're convinced they know they need to be saved, that's when they become converted. And people need to be convicted that they're lost and on their road to hell and that they need a Savior. And then convinced they can't save themselves. I can't save myself. I'm a human. It takes a divine, almighty God to be my Savior. And he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God, notice, in him, not ourselves. The second place we find in the scriptures where God is able is found in 2 Timothy. Would you turn there to chapter 1, verse 12? 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Not only is he able to save us, but the Bible here says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have, what? Believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. How do you like that? We call that the eternality of salvation. Some use the phrase, a form of security, salvation. We're secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not only with believing comes the persuasion that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Once saved, always saved. I know there are people that maybe come forward and go through the motions of getting saved, but they never come back. Maybe they got baptized, but they never come back. You never see any evidence that they're truly saved. It's possible that they may have understood what they were doing, but it didn't take. They professed that they knew Christ, but they did not possess Christ. What he's saying here is not only do we believe, but we are persuaded that he's able to keep that which we've committed unto him unto that day. I don't worry about my salvation. I'm secure in him. Amen. If somebody were to try to talk me out of my salvation, I would just say, well, you'd have to talk to the Lord about that. Just go ahead and talk to Jesus about it. Start over there in John chapter 14. Huh? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you trusted Jesus Christ, you're heaven bound. And the truth of your salvation hinges on what he did for you, not what you did for him. He saved me, and I'm saved eternally. What a joy it is. Not only that, but anything I commit to the Lord, he'll take care of it for me. Did you know Philippians 4 tells us that we're not to worry about anything? Now, how many of you are worry warts? Yeah. Some people love to worry. They just get a kick out of it because they never give it up. Did you know that 85% of the things you worry about never even happen? If you'd like to cure yourself of worrying, just in the next few days, next few weeks, when you start worrying, figure out how much time you spent worrying, and then as soon as you find out it didn't work, that it was just nothing, and then you'll understand that God says, be careful for nothing. You are not to worry about anything. Amen. Now, women tend to worry more than men do. Men just fly by the seat of their britches. They don't worry about nothing. But oh, the wife, who? She's going to handle all of this. She can handle this. She's a multitasker. And she can worry, and she can fret, and she can stew, and she can cook, and she can do the dishes too. But there's nothing worse than a person being consumed with worry. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But he also tells us there's another part to that formula. But by everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So you can't worry if you're trusting God. With prayer and thanksgiving. Now we pray, but our prayers aren't thankful. You ever preach mad at God? Now, Lord, I love you today, but why didn't you take care of this, 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 and this? If I was God, I would have done it. We're almost sacrilegious in the fact that we think that we could have been smarter than God, and yet we don't know the end from the beginning. It shows us that the finite, of our minds being so finite that we can't comprehend things that God comprehends. And then later we find out God had it all taken care of to begin with. We worried for nothing. We must pray about everything with thanksgiving. And then the next verse goes, here it is, and this is the most beautiful part of it. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So if you give it to God, you don't have to worry about it. Amen. Give it to God. Let him have it. Number three, the third time we see in the Bible that God is able is found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now, God's going to take you by surprise this morning, Pastor. There are things right now you've never thought about that God has for you to think about. Every one of you are not thinking about what God has for you yet. He'll reveal it, but you've got to ask him to reveal it. Amen. God gives out information when you ask. God performs miracles when you ask. God does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Now, God doesn't always give us what we want. If he did, we'd be spoiled brats. And we are already spoiled brats. I mean, if God gave us what we wanted, we probably wouldn't be in church this morning. God has to humble us sometimes and bring us to the place where we don't think so highly of ourselves and we start thinking highly of God. When we think highly of him, then he begins to perform miracles in our lives because he knows that he's going to get the glory. I love it when God does things for me, and I know he did it for me. Oh, man. He's able to do exceeding. January 1, I made a decision. I'm going to pay my house off in 2020. On January 1, I started. And I gave the Lord 365 days to get it done. 1 year. Okay? Doesn't God like to be challenged? Well, then March 3rd came. COVID hit. And so did my meetings hit. I only lost 12 weeks, and then I got COVID later in August and lost 3 more weeks. And I went to my pastor and I said, Pastor, I only told him and I only told my wife. I said, now, Lord, what am I going to do? It was like the Lord said, you're not going to do anything because you can't do anything. I'm going to do it. Doesn't that bring great consolation? Well, not really. So I went to my pastor, and I thought, if I tell my pastor about it, he'll really give me some good advice. And I said, Pastor, this is my situation. This is what I chose to do, and I felt like it was the Lord's will to do it. And he goes, well, Brother Dan, there are just some things God can't get done. And then he gave me a smirk. He really slapped me. Bam! I went, ooh. So I got home and I said, now, I think my pastor's wrong about what he just said. He said it in irony, of course. But I thought, Lord, I'm going to trust you for it. Are you sitting down? On August the 5th, house paid for. The only people that knew about it was my wife. She didn't give me anything for it. My pastor knew about it, and he didn't give me anything for it. God did it. Have you ever had a situation in your life where you would have to say, God did it? What a great God we serve. And then I got thinking, now, Lord, why did you do it on August 5th and not December 31st? Well, I didn't want you to have to pay a mortgage on September, October, November, or December. He does exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Remember that next time you get discouraged. Next time a problem comes up in your life, you're like, oh no, what am I going to do? The Lord's going, hello, I'm up here wanting to do something for you. Let him do something for you. Amen. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3 or 2 and verse 18. Hebrews 2, 18. Again, we see God being able. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being what? Tempted. He is able to help them that are tempted. Wow. How many of you have ever been tempted? All of us have. Sometime we call it a test. Sometime we call it pure lust. Sometimes we call it somebody else's problem when really it's our own. We are tempted, the Bible says in the book of James, when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Did you know I can't blame any of my sin on anybody but myself? Oh, we like to place blame. Brother so-and-so did that. Sister Flapshaw got this thing going. Mr. Pride and Arrogancy, look at him. He's so proud and arrogant. How dare anyone take blame for their own decisions. Let's blame somebody else. Well, it's my upbringing. You've got to rise above that, but you can't. There is no way any one of us can rise above our own ability. We need spiritual enabling. We need God to come on the scene and say, you can't handle this temptation. I'll take care of it for you. If you think you're going to live a victorious life without Christ, you are mistaken. I heard a preacher say one time that he said, when I first was in the ministry, I wanted God's power. I wanted to build a great church. He said, now that I'm older, I just want His presence. Do you have His presence? The Bible says in His presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know what we need to do? We need to turn in sinful pleasure for spiritual pleasure. We need to come to the place in our lives when we are tempted, we ask the Lord to take care of it. Amen. When the devil comes knocking at your door, send the Lord Jesus. He'll flee. Oh, He's able to help us through temptation and trials. The psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. We must come to God and say, Lord, I want that abundant life you talked about in John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have seen the devil tear to pieces Christian people because they gave place to the devil. And they weren't living the abundant life. Oh, they were saved, but the devil came in and just tore them up, tore up their families, messed up their testimony. Jesus said, He wants to give us an abundant life, a life more abundant. That's the pleasure and the joy of living for Jesus and quit living for yourself. That's a selfish life. A spiritual life is where Christ makes all the decisions and you don't make any more mistakes. How would you like to make less mistakes? Don't think I'm preaching sinless perfection, because it's impossible for you to be sinlessly perfect. But in God's eyes, you could sin a lot less than you're sinning. Some of you right now, the devil's making havoc of your marriage, of your home, because you've given place to the devil instead of to the power of Almighty God. And all you've got to do is get it right, and you can have God's blessing and power and abundance. You can enjoy going to church again instead of trying to do it to please people. You can go because you love Him. I was preaching up in Peoria, Illinois. A couple came into the service. I was told that they were fighting like mad with each other and they were cussing and carrying on. He was a former preacher. Don't tell me preachers can't cuss. They hadn't been in church for years. A friend of theirs from California called them and asked them to come to that church service, that revival meeting. They came, shocked. When they walked in, everybody was like, whoa. Look who just walked in. I preached and they came back the next night. The next night, when the invitation was given, they came to the altar. They were kind of like right over there. They knelt down together. And they wept their way back to God. Now, how do you think that happened? Somebody was praying. And somebody was sick and tired of living a failing life. When you get sick and tired of your sin, you'll quit it. Old Sam Jones has a message out. I've got his book in my library. You know what the title is? You'll love this title. Quit your meanness. Isn't that a delightful title of a message. When you get right with God, you won't have any more meanness in you. God can take care of that. When you're tempted, He can take care of it. Go to Acts chapter 20. Two more. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. What else is God able to do for us? In Acts chapter 20, verse 22, it says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to," what? Say it. "Build you up." Often we're tearing people down. Do you know that? They say everything's going self. My cheeks used to be up here. This is what I used to look like. And, you know, my furniture's all messed up. My chest is in my drawers. We're not going up, we're going down as far as the physical things of life are concerned. You get that? But God says, "I don't want you to go down, I want to build you up." Only God can build us up. You know, sometimes people will give, they'll say, "Oh, how you doing?" They really don't know, want to know how you're doing. I put somebody to the test one day, and we were on a campus, a college campus, and this pastor was walking by, and he said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "I'm about ready to commit suicide." He said, "Amen, brother." He never heard me. People don't care about anybody else but themselves, unless God gets a hold of them, and then they care about everybody. They're no longer selfish anymore. They're unselfish. They have a joy about them. They have a thrill about them. They're always looking to build somebody up, not tear somebody down. When I was pastoring in Peekskill, New York, I was there for 23 years. One Sunday, I got up and I said to the folks, I said, I hate to read this, but I never thought I would read this. But I've got to read this morning, and it breaks my heart. And you could see people... You could see them going, "He's resigning." I said, "I want everybody to know here that I am pastor of a gossiping church. I never thought I would pastor a gossiping church. It's breaking my heart." I said, "Open up your bulletin." And in the bulletin, it showed how to answer a phone call. People that are gossips get on the phone. And many were being touched by that, and I said, this is how you answer the phone call when it comes. When somebody calls and said, "Hey, I got a prayer request for you. Sister so-and-so. And brother so-and-so. Here's how you answer it." "Oh, thank you for calling. Now, you're talking about so-and-so, right?" "Yeah. It's a prayer request." "I will call them and have them call you, and you can tell them to their face." Okay? Is that good? That'll work. Oh, it killed it dead. Of course, there was also a little phrase in there that said, section 4, number 2 of our Articles of Faith and bylaws, you can lose your membership by gossiping. Okay? Everybody got it? It killed it dead. People were going and getting what they call caller ID. That tells you how old I am. Yeah, it killed it. Did you know that God would like to kill anything in your life that is hurting His work in your life? See, Satan comes and tries to kill you and destroy you and hurt you, and God has to come in and rescue you. Oh, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? When I was growing up, my father gave me good things I didn't ask for. We went on whaling expeditions, and we didn't even live near the water. He applied the Board of Education to the seat of knowledge. Amen. Bloodshed in the woodshed. It was real. I got more spankings than all my brothers combined. As I think that thing through, I think I was kind of ignorant about that. My brothers could get out of them. I couldn't. Yeah. Twice my father spanked me when I didn't deserve it. I said, "Dad, you spanked me and that wasn't my fault." "That's to make up for all the other times.
Huh? Oh, I want to tell you, we must come to the place where we start building. I didn't realize my dad was building me up at that point. But I wouldn't be standing here if it hadn't been for my father's discipline and his love and his care. I'll never forget when I went off to, I thought I was going to a youth rally. It was really a preacher's meeting. I never would have gone had I known. I had to sit through 16 sermons. On the 15th sermon, God said, Daniel, you've come to a Y in the road of your life. If you make a left-hand turn, you'll be a New York State police officer and you'll be miserable. If you make a right-hand turn, you'll be a preacher and you'll be happy. For one of the first times in my life, I made the right decision. Amen. That's because I heard a lot of messages on the will of God. But here's the beautiful part of it. We didn't have cell phones back then. And back in the dark ages of time, young people. But when I got home, Mom and Dad met me at the door. What happened? My dad said. God called me to preach. And my mom and dad, they had tears in their eyes. And they said, we got down by the couch every single day you were gone. And we said, oh God, get a hold of Daniel this week. If you don't, we're going to lose him for the cause of Christ. You see, when I didn't have enough sense to do what was right, thank God somebody was praying for God to touch my life. And when God spoke to me, it was a divine revelation. Has God ever spoken to you? Of course He has. He'll speak to you to get saved. Amen. God wants you to be saved. He wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to be thoroughly right with Him. He wants you to cash in your sins for His mighty blessing and power. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say yes to an almighty God that has given you opportunity after opportunity? Maybe you've turned them down, but God's giving one again today. See, God, His hand is still outstretched. And He wants to reach you where you are. And to you that are saved, He wants to build you up. Oh, we have no reason to be discouraged. We have no reason to pout. We have no reason to have a pity party. We must be the happiest people on God's green earth. Number six, go to Jude, verse 24, and I close. Jude, verse 24, and I close. And this one here is so precious to me, because as of this moment, God has proven Himself. In Jude, verse 24, now unto Him that is able to keep you from what? Not only keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. He keeps you from falling. Paul feared that he would be a castaway. Do you know anybody that got away from God for a few years? A preacher friend of mine had some bad circumstances come into his life, and he made some wrong decisions. He would tell you he lost 10 years of his life. I was in a preacher's meeting, and he tapped me on the shoulder 10 years later. Brother Dan, how you doing? I was so thrilled to see him. I'd been praying for him. He was on my list of hard cases. I've got 6 preachers on there right now. Hard cases. People that have said, forget about it. I'm going to do what I want to do. He said, I was in a boating accident and God spared my life. And I told Him, if you get me out of this, I'll serve you the rest of my life. And He did. And He still is doing it. There are people under the sound of my voice right now. You've been away from God. They say, what's worse, to be away from God for 10 years or 1 year? Neither one are acceptable with God.
God never intended for any of us to fall. He planned on us being victorious. He planned us being happy. What would God order for your life? It's found in Galatians 20:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what he wants for you. That's what he paid for you. And that's what he expects from you. Let's pray together, may we? While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you convinced, according to the Word of God, that God is able? And yet we are, in our finite minds, often failing, falling, drifting away, becoming detoured or delayed. Sometimes we get so full of ourselves that God has no place to dwell. I'd like us to stand together with heads bowed. If you're not saved, come and meet the Lord Jesus. The pastor's right here. If you're not saved, you have missed out on the greatest blessing that anyone could ever have. It was something that God intended for you by His dear Son. Come and accept Jesus as your Savior. And you that are saved, you say, Brother Knickerbocker, I've had my good days, I've had my bad days, I've had my good years, my bad years, but I want that abundant life. I want all that God has for me. Where God says He's able, I want it. I would ask you to slip out of your seat. Maybe it's a couple would come. Maybe someone with a broken heart over circumstances and things that have happened in your life. Would you come and just kneel at this altar and say, oh God, I need your help. As our sister plays softly, would you come? Come on, don't wait. Don't wait. Don't give the devil a moment. If God spoke to you, come and just say, oh God, I need you, and I've taken you for granted. All of us have. You're not going to say anything that all of us haven't had to say. Lord, use me. Help me to be filled with your power, you preachers. All the pressures of the ministry. Is God still sufficient, or are you living a complaint? Have you lost your joy? Christian workers, school teachers, students, don't you want more of God? Come and let God have His way. Don't delay.
Heads bowed, eyes closed. Let's sing that chorus together. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Oh, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. He was white as snow. My Father, I'm thankful that I serve a God that is able. And I ask you that you would help me. May I never inhibit your ability through my lack of faith. Or through my lack of cooperation. Help us, Lord, not only to have saved lives, but Father, may we have submissive lives as well. Lord, would you use us for thy sake? Again, I thank you for these men, and I ask you their blessings upon their ministries. Lord, these preachers that have been, some of them are traveling now, some of them will be traveling. I pray that you'd watch over them and care for them as they travel. And I pray that you'd bless their works back home. There's things that happen many times when we're away. And Lord, it kind of pulls our minds, even our hearts, away from you. So I ask you blessings upon the week. But Lord, I ask you to bless these people. I pray that you would help us. Help us. We'd be thankful. Bless us as we go our separate ways, Father. Bring us back tonight rejoicing in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Good day, God.